It's interesting. You may ask yourself, what are Vedic mantras doing in Braj? But Krishna has one priest called Bhaguri, who once performed a big yagya at Govinda Kund for the welfare of Krishna. So maybe this is related. Maybe this Brahmana also performs a yagya for the welfare of Krishna. Mm. So we are continuing our reading. We know that Radharani burned the fever of the separation from Krishna, and no matter what the Sakis tried to relieve Radha, it was without any use. They used cooling camphor, sandalwood paste, fragrant ushira grass, fresh leaves, water lilies, and lotus pollen to cool the fever in Srimati's, Radharani's body, but it didn't bring her back to life until Tulasi Manjari unexpectedly came from Nandagram, where Krishna had arrived and had taken his evening meal, and she sprinkled Radha's ears with drops of Krishna Katha. She spoke much about the news, and she also brought, you know what else she brought? Krishna Prasadam. Yes, you know everything. So the next chapter is about Radharani getting back her consciousness and Yashoda's affection for Krishna. Doe-eyed Radhika regained consciousness. She hastily got up and said, "Oh, Sakhi Tulasi, today my afflicted desert-like ears have become fortunate by experiencing an unprecedented shower of nectar in my dream that cooled me off and made me happy." She thinks there was a nectar shower in her dream, but Lalita corrects her and says, "Oh, fair-faced Radha, you woke by hearing about the sweet pastimes of your lover, told by Tulasi, who just came back from Yashoda's palace." So Radha hears that Tulasi has arrived with news of Krishna and immediately addresses her, "Oh, Tulasi, please tell me more charming news about Krishna in order to stimulate my consciousness." So Tulasi obeyed Radha's command and narrated Krishna's pastimes at dusk. That's when the sun gets down, and it's only a little light is there, and Krishna comes with the cows to the gate of the town of Vrindavan. And that's of course a very significant pastime, because just like Radha had fainted in the absence of Krishna, also the Brajavasis, they are almost like dead people. It's in the absence of Krishna. It's not really right to say they are like dead people. They are like absent-minded people. Their mind has gone with Krishna out of the town Vrindavan and into the forest. For instance, when the gopis speak in Vrindavan about Krishna, they know this because their mind is with Krishna. They hear the song from Krishna's flute because their mind is with Krishna. Or else they know what is Krishna's flute song because they see through a window the window of their separation, Krishna. So this is so now Radharani is informed, O Sakhi Radha, when Krishna reached the town gate, Nanda Maharaj extended his arms to embrace him. Nanda's body became stunned in bliss and started with thrill bounds. When Nanda set his son on his lap, Krishna appeared like an incomparable blue lotus flower in a lake on Mount Kailash. So Nanda Maharaj takes Krishna on his lap. Then Nanda Baba lifted the edge of Krishna's turban, smelled his head. This is interesting. Just a little from the edge. More fragrance could be had. Smelled his head and bathed his son in tears of love. Nanda affectionately pressed his face to Krishna's. It looked like a spotless autumn cloud covering the moon, which had removed the affliction of heat with his cool rays. So Nanda's head looks like a white cloud, and as he comes close to Krishna's head, which is, of course, Krishna is known as Krishna Chandra. He has a moon face. So Nanda Maharaj looks as if he would be a cloud covering the moon with his cool rays. Now, Tulasi also explains what happened with Yashoda Rani. Yashoda had spent the evening running in and out of the palace. When is my Krishna coming? Her face was dried up in grief. And she had worried about Krishna's delay in returning home. You know, this is very, very wonderful. We know that Yashoda became so impatient that she sent a gopi up the watchtower. And this watchtower was very elevated, but so that she would make sure that news of Krishna would quickly reach her, she sent the tallest gopi. In this way, the view was a little bit more, you know, and earlier news could come to Yashoda. And what the gopi saw was something which discouraged her at first. She saw that Krishna was coming with clouds of dust around him, and then it played his flute and danced. So while this was going on, the devatas came down and touched this dust cloud to take a dust bath. See, the devatas never touched the earth, but they wanted to touch the dust, and this was the best chance. They saw that the cows and Krishna's feet had made a dust cloud, so they bathed in the dust cloud. But then they thought to themselves, Are, this Vrindavan is not an ordinary piece of earth. We should not be reluctant to touch it. So the dust cloud had purified them from their arrogance of being devatas who never touched the earth. So they came down, they stood in a row, and they bowed down and glorified Krishna as he was coming by. And this delayed Krishna's return a little bit. So Yashoda was worrying about Krishna's delay. As soon as Yashoda beheld her dearly beloved boy, she released a Jamuna river of tears from her eyes and a Ganga river of milk from her breasts. Yashoda embraced Krishna and felt stunned in joy. Her voice choked up so she could not inquire about Krishna's well-being, nor could she see Krishna because her eyes were awash with tears. Rohini performed arati to Krishna by waving a small golden ghee lamp before him. Rohini held Gopala's and set him on Yashoda's lap. So we can see that she wants to inquire about Krishna's well-being, and she wants to see Krishna, but two enemies violently attack her. First, the emotion which chokes her voice attacks her, so she can't ask. She just says, Kana, Kana, Kanai. Then she wants to see Krishna, but again her eyes become almost her enemies because there's so many tears that she cannot see anything. So Rohini understands the terrible situation of Yashoda, who wants to get in contact with Krishna, but she can't. So so Rohini performs an arti to Krishna by waving a small golden ghee lamp before him to drive away all auspiciousness, and then she catches Gopal, who is restless, and sits him on Yashoda's lap. In this way, the blind Yashoda, who is blinded by tears, gets Krishna. O Sakhi! A great doubt arose the moment that Krishna sat on his mother's lap. A great doubt was there. The doubt was Krishna the moon sitting on the lap of his birthplace, the nectar ocean of parental affection? Or was Krishna the king of love jewels sitting in his own mind? Or was Krishna a sapphire ornamenting a doll tinted blue by his effulgence and smeared with the musk of affection placed nicely on her lap by fate? So it was very difficult to understand. Was it that Krishna was the moon who had come out of Yashoda, or like the moon which rises out of an ocean? You know, those who have been in our Japa retreats in Croatia have seen the moon rising out of the ocean. Or was it easier to say that Krishna was a sapphire which had come from a mine of sapphires and was now sitting on the mine which gave birth to him? Was it more like that? That was very difficult. Was he more a moon or a sapphire? Or was none of the two things true? I think what we try to hear, what the doubt is Krishna again linked with the to put it very simple, with his origin? These are the two first examples, moon, the ocean, and the moon, and the sapphire, and the mine. Or was nothing of this truth? Was Krishna simply brought to Yashoda by fate? You know, was there no relationship, in other words? There is a doubt, because some doubt that Krishna is the son of Yashoda. Some doubt like this. So this is a heavy doubt. Was it just the whims of fate which brought him from Mathura to Braj? You know, that there was trouble in his parental home, Kamsa. Was there? This is a doubt. Oh my God, this is heavy. What is your opinion?
No fate.
It can't be fate. It must be that he was linked again with his origin. There must be a connection, not just a fate connection. Krishna, while held in the lap of the ecstasy-stunned Yashoda, said, "O mother, I am already sitting on your lap. Why don't you look at me instead of showering me with your tears all the time?" And Gopal wiped the tears from Yashoda's face. This tender expression made Yashoda feel like a female swan floating on a lake of happiness. This is a lake of happiness which where Yashoda feels like a female swan. Today I read in Krishna Karanamrita that there is another lake, the lake which is produced by Krishna's flute play. This lake is called the lake of sweetness. And devotees want to absorb themselves into this lake. This is when you chant the Karma Gayatri Mantra with perfection. Then you enter that sweetness lake. Oh, Krishna. Yashoda lovingly fondled his eyes, lipkosed Krishna and washed the dust from his body with her flowing breast milk. The goddess of motherly love saw no end to the incomparable waves of Yashoda's bliss. Therefore, she restored Yashoda's awareness of her maternal duties by engaging her in massaging Krishna's body with her lotus hands. She also engaged the maidservants in anointing and bathing Krishna. Acha, Mother Yashoda, this is very interesting. When Mother Yashoda sees Krishna returning, she first massages Krishna. Actually, you will always find this as a sign of affection. When these babas greet you, they will take your hand and then they will start to press the hand. Have you noticed? They will press the hand out of affection. Okay. So that is what Mother Yashoda does. She presses Krishna's body. Hare Krishna. This is all insinuated by the goddess of motherly affection. Yashoda said, "Oh, Vatsa!" Vatsa means calf-like child. You know, a cow is very affectionate to its calf, so when the mother is very affectionate towards her son, she will call him Vatsa. Oh, Vatsa. Oh, calf. Wonderful, isn't it? Oh, abode of pure love. I worry so much about you when you go to the forest to tend the cows. Oh, moon-faced child, you are not merciful to me. Oh, lotus of your family, even once you have not taken me to the forest with you. Oh, child of merciful heart, though the long day has finished and your father called you several times, you did not come home. Your friends worry upon observing your weakness due to hunger and thirst. Still you tolerate it and do not come home. Why should a mother continue to maintain her hard and useless life? So Mother Yashoda is complaining, you have not taken me one time with you to the forest. You are not merciful to your mother. And then, I am totally worried, and even your friends are worried because they see how weak you are due to hunger and thirst. Why should I maintain my life? It would be better that I commit suicide. Mother Yashoda. Now Madhu Mangal responded to Yashoda's distress. Oh mother, my fickle friend Krishna becomes absorbed in playing with his balali. Balali means boyfriends or girlfriends. And completely forgets himself. What is he going to do? I am the only one among Krishna's friends whose mind is controlled, O mother. If I had not prevented him today, Krishna would have played into the night, and he would not have come home even at dusk. So Madhu Mangal is very hungry, so therefore he will put out his glory. He said, my mind was the only controlled mind here. Everyone else was just lost in play. So I told Krishna, come. Yashoda said, oh Brahman boy, what you say is certainly true. Every day I see fingernail scratches on Krishna's body, but the sharp-nailed boys do not heed my admonitions. Whenever they wrestle, they forcibly scratch Krishna's body, which is more tender than a blue lotus flower. Alas! What should I do to stop these naughty boys? So this, of course, relates immediately to the gopis. And after Tulsi had related these pastimes, she said, O Sakhi Radha, following Yashoda's instructions, I helped rub oil on Krishna's body when Rohini went to the kitchen. Yashoda, Purnamasi, Kilimba, Mukhada, Gargi and other elderly ladies fondled Krishna with great affection. So, Hare Krishna. This is all for now. Tomorrow we will hear Krishna's extraordinary bathing pastimes. How Madhu Mangal makes Krishna laugh like anything with his jokes. But before, so this is all explained by Tulasi, who brings the transcendental news of Krishna to Radhika, who then gets her life back. She wants to hear about Krishna more. I heard the moment a devotee's spiritual life becomes serious, he or she also manifests an eagerness to hear more about Krishna and cannot stop listening newer aspects of Krishna's pastime. Really, this eagerness to hear about Krishna means you are awakening from the death of material existence. When you don't have an eagerness to hear about Krishna, you can understand that you might must serve devotees, because only by the service of devotees can that eagerness to hear about Krishna arise in your heart. That meeting with devotees who tell you about Krishna will give birth to an eagerness in the dry heart. Hare Krishna. I somehow feel that here at Govindakund there are many, many, many divine beings. I think I have told you that from my mother's side I can sometimes see things, other beings, and I have seen today a few, two very great personalities. I think this is a place where Siddha Mahatma must have done his bhajan, because these exalted siddhas, perfected souls, they attract many divine beings who want to get the mercy. And I heard that it was, I think it must be Siddha Manohar Das Baba who was here. I think that because we know his bhajan koti is there, so he must be all over the place. So it's a very amazing place. Very Krishna, very Krishna conscious place. Don't forget, as you enter, try to enter into the Kartikvrata, to ask for the mercy of Radharani. This is very important, that you become very much a mercy seeker of Radharani. That, oh Radharani, I'm not qualified really, but please allow me to do the service of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Because we are by nature a little uninterested in Krishna consciousness. I mean, we are not so super eager all the time, and this mercy of the greatest of Krishna's devotees is what can help us in this month of Kartik. Once Radha and Krishna went through the forest of Vrindavan during the spring season, when all the flowers were blooming and blossoming. And Krishna wanted to acknowledge the trees' service, the tree seva and the flower seva. And he would, as he wandered with Srimati Radharani in this Van Bihari Leela, he would touch the trees sometimes, which had so many fruits and flowers. And he would smell the flowers. Now, there was one thicket, thick jungle, and there were also, there was a bush which had flowers, but they were not smelling. So this flower saw, oh, all the other flowers from the flower-bearing trees give so much happiness to Krishna, but I am not smelling. Krishna will certainly not be able to enjoy me. And this flower felt so desperate. I'm in this land of Vrindavan, but I'm not smelling. I'm not fragrant. I think we also feel sometimes a little bit like that flower. Well, I'm here in the land of Vrindavan, but I'm come from the jungle of Europe, and I'm not giving pleasure to Krishna. I can't imagine I give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. We feel like this, at least I feel like this. I'm still in the budding state of consciousness. I'm not blossoming, what to speak of, blooming. So this flower became very, it was an intense flower. It just jumped from the bush on the path. And Violet, it was thinking, I will commit suicide. I jump away from the bush, and then I will lie on the flower, on the path, and I will be crushed by Krishna's lotus feet. And that is the perfection of my existence. If I can't give pleasure to Krishna with my service, let me be crushed. Can you understand the logic of that flower? So they were coming, Radha and Krishna were coming closer and closer, and Radharani saw this flower on the path. And she immediately understood that this was a flower which wanted to serve Krishna, but because it felt so absolutely unqualified, it had jumped off the bush and was now lying there to expect the soft lotus feet of Krishna. And she pointed that out. She said, "Hey, Sam, look at this flower. She also wants to serve you." So Krishna looked at the flower and immediately understood everything about that flower. All the thoughts, all the qualifications and disqualifications. And Krishna immediately took that flower which was on the path and placed it into his crown. And then the flower was immediately revived and became so supremely happy. It was the most blissful moment in the life of that flower. So my dear devotees, we may be like those flowers. We don't smell nicely with devotional sentiments. Our bhava is not really anything to be mentioned. Our Krishna consciousness is not very close, but let's at least pray to be of some service. Let's at least pray that, let me do something here, let me try to do something, and because I'm so powerless, I need to be empowered. And then when we pray like this, Radharani might become attentive to our case and suggest or appoint us to Krishna. This is the idea of Kati, that we may feel disqualified, but Radharani is very merciful and she can somehow uplift us. That's the whole idea of the Kartik months. Wonderful, isn't it? So when we go and lay down, we should remember this pastime and feel hopeful in our heart. Not depressed. Good. So now...